are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. And thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen of every day. Just a reminder, we post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. And as always, I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Check out my bio there where you will see I am covering the Brewers here, the Braves at TomahawkTake.com. I cover AA South for Prospects 1500 and the Birmingham Barons for Southside Sox. So covering the game of baseball in a wide variety of areas. As I tell you all the time, big baseball fan. Everybody asks me who my favorite team is. I always tell them I'm a fan of baseball. So love talking about baseball. Love talking about the Milwaukee Brewers here with all of you. I usually have a co-host, Vinny Rotino, but he fell asleep on me tonight. So y'all make sure to go wake up Vinny on Twitter tomorrow at Vinny Rotino. Sure, we'll have him back on the show next week. Also, make sure you go follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever it is that you get your podcast. And let me remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app now and join me the next time I go live to get in on the action. On today's episode, Friday episode, we are going to be doing our season recap. I'll be going first half, second half, talking about the biggest moments, talking about all the trades, talking about just the movement of the season and how the season shook out for the Milwaukee Brewers that led to them winning the NL Central and going to the postseason. So we'll be talking about all of that, talking about the key performers in the first and second half. And then on Monday's episode, I plan on doing our awards, regular season awards for the Brewers. So definitely want to have Benny on for that episode, giving his awards for the season. But before we get into all of that, let me tell you about our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular run-of-the-mill flavors. No, it's a bunch of different flavors from coconut to salted caramel. They got the mint brownie and my favorite, cookies and cream. There's a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars, something that's going to give you a very unique taste, something that tastes good, and they're not hard as a rock like a lot of other protein bars out there. Have a soft middle, so it's very easy to chew and easy to get down. They're very good, they're very tasty, they're great for you as well. Most of them only have about 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. So whether you like to take them before a workout, after a workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether they're just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. Again, they're packed with protein, but don't have a lot of carbs involved, so it's a good treat for you to have, and they taste amazing. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today, try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com, use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Just go to BuiltBar.com today, use the promo code LOCKEDON15. All right, so kicking off our 2021 season review for the Milwaukee Brewers, where better to begin than opening day? And I want to take you back through the opening day lineup because I just always think that it's interesting to look back at old lineups, you know, see how they were constructed, who was in there, and knowing how you finished the year. The opening day lineup for the Brewers was Colton Wong, Kesson Hira, Christian Yelich, Avisel Garcia, Travis Shaw, Lorenzo Cain, Omar Narvaez, Luis Urias, and Brandon Woodruff. Honestly, not a lot of change from opening day in terms of players. You know, obviously Kesson not in there, Travis Shaw not in there, but everybody else was pretty much in the postseason lineup. That's a bit unusual for a team to see beginning to end, not only just to stay that healthy, but all of those guys kind of staying as part of the team. So a bit unusual there. I think it, you know, speaks to the fact that even though the Brewers were a bit banged up at the end of the year, they did pretty much stay healthy. A lot of their players did perform, I guess you could say. Maybe that wasn't the case for Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, but, you know, all those other guys, I mean, they performed well enough to stay in the lineup and be key contributors all year long. And on that opening day, I remember it. I was on Spotify Green Room listening, watching the game with a lot of you, and we had the walk-off fielder's choice from Orlando Arcia in the 10th inning to beat the Twins. Just seemed like it was kicking off a great start to a great year, which it was. So a great opening day there. And speaking of Orlando Arcia, not long after that, April 6th, they traded Arcia to the Atlanta Braves for Patrick Weigel and Chad Sobotka. Didn't understand the trade then, still don't understand it now, but I think it eventually led to Willy Adames. I don't know if they make that trade if Arcia is still around. So, you know, with that in mind, I didn't agree. The reason I didn't like the trade then and, you know, still don't understand it now was the fact that they kind of handed the shortstop job to Arias and I didn't think he was ready for it. Turns out he wasn't ready for it. And so, you know, a month or so later, they make a trade to replace him. But again, it leads to Willy Adames, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. So, you know, if that was the case, that was the what led to Adames, certainly all for that trade. It's not like Arcia went and tore it up for the Braves either. We did end up getting to face him in the postseason. Wasn't much of a factor there either. But just thought that was interesting. Wanted to make sure that I recapped that when looking back at this season, because that trade, I think, took a lot of us by surprise. Kesson here hit 167 through the month of April and was demoted to AAA at the beginning of May. For the first time, went back and forth a couple of times throughout the year, but really just never got going all year long. Like I said, came back up a couple times, but really spent most of the second half in AAA and honestly really didn't get much going at AAA either. So the future for Kesson is very uncertain at this moment. So unfortunate. Kesson Hiro was somebody I thought was going to have a breakout 2021 season, be a 30 home run hitter, but unfortunately just couldn't get going out of the gates, never really could recover. Hopefully having another full offseason to work things out. Hopefully that'll get him going, get him ready and back on track next year. But at this moment, really with him and Christian Yelich, you know, I don't know what the future looks like for either of them. I mean, Yelich is going to be part of this team for sure. I mean, that contract, he's not going anywhere. But just got to hope that he bounces back. As I said on yesterday's podcast, have to hope that he bounces back to an all-star level type performer. But you don't really know what those two are going to be. And I think I said this on another podcast not too long ago. You know, had you told me coming into the year that Kesson Hiro and Christian Yelich would combine for less than 20 home runs, I think they did, and this team still made the postseason, I'd have thought you were crazy. I'd have thought there's no way this team survives without Christian Yelich and Kesson Hiro being, you know, real big cogs and power bats in the middle of that lineup. And they combined to hit 13 home runs for the Brewers this year, and they still win, you know, 95 games and run away with the division. Okay, and then the biggest moment of the entire season came on May 22nd. The trade for Willy Adames. They sent they sent Drew Rasmussen and JP Fireisen and got Adames and Trevor Richards. Completely turned the season around. Adames instantly became the leader in that clubhouse. The Brewers were 22-23 at the point and in third place in the NL Central when they traded for Adames. They went on a 16-5 run after that trade and were tied for first place by June 13th. So just completely turned that season around. One of the best trades that I can remember as far as, you know, just like season-defining trades. I mean, when you look back at the 2021 season, I think a lot of people are going to think of the trade for Adames and how that just completely changed course for this team and how he just became an instant leader. And as I talked about in yesterday's podcast, he and Rowdy Tellez, which I'll mention here in a second, I'll just go ahead and mention that. On July 6th, they traded Trevor Richards and Bowden Francis to the Blue Jays for Rowdy Tellez. Not necessarily the impact of Adames, but again, as me and Vinny talked about on Thursday's podcast, those two are going to be around for a while now, three more years of control, and I think that's going to be your first baseman and shortstop. We could see a platoon situation with Rowdy over there at first, but I think he will be playing a lot of first base for the Brewers over the next couple of years, and I think, you know, Adames is their shortstop for, you know, at least the next two or three years if they don't try to lock him up with, you know, the culture, what he's provided for the Brewers, the city of Milwaukee, the fans just gathering around him, just an instant impact clubhouse person over there. So Some really big trades in the first half of the season really set this team up for success. They were 53-39 at the All-Star break and four games up on the Reds in the NL Central. Some of the top hitters from the first half mentioned, you know, Adames, the spark that he created. He had a 909 OPS in the first half, the highest OPS among starters, with nine home runs in 172 at-bats. Omar Narvaez was huge in the first half as well, an 866 OPS with eight home runs and 213 at-bats. Colton Wong, 830 OPS, seven home runs and 196 at-bats, so it was very good at the top of the order, getting on base. Avisel Garcia, 782 OPS, 16 home runs and 285 at-bats. Again, I know Avi struggled down the stretch. I know Vinny's not the biggest fan of his, but I really thought Avi was one of the most consistent hitters from beginning to end for this Brewers team. You know, when nobody else was going early, you could count on Avi, and just really all through the season, he was kind of there in the middle of the lineup providing thump, providing power. I mean, led the team in home runs with 29. So, you know, I give a lot of credit to Avisel Garcia and what he did for the Brewers lineup this year. And then I want to mention Christian Yelich in the first half as well, because it kind of surprised me. You know, a 768 OPS, certainly not the levels, MVP type levels we're expecting from Yelich. But that was a lot higher than I thought it would be. In the first half, he was taking a lot of walks, so his on-base percentage, you know, really all season he was taking his walks, so his on-base percentage remained pretty high. But 768 OPS, pretty solid, but just five home runs and 187 at-bats. Again, you can kind of see that power being zapped out of him. Well, those are your top hitters. As far as the top pitchers go, Josh Hader, 149 ERA, 21 saves. Brandon Woodruff, I thought he was actually the best pitcher in the first half, a 206 ERA, a 0.82 whip. Corbin Burns, 236 ERA, 0.91 whip. Freddie Peralta, 239 ERA, 0.90 whip. It is just absurd to look back at the numbers for those three starters, all between 2 and 2.39 ERAs, and all with whips under one. I mean, that is just absurd to think about how good all three of those pitchers were in the first half. And I mean, the pitchers behind them weren't bad either, but those guys were just absolutely dominant. And I want to mention Brad Boxberger as well, 287 ERA, 114 whip in the first half. You know, definitely when the Brewers needed some help in those late innings, Boxberger stepped up and was huge. All right, we'll take another break, and then we'll come back and review the second half of the season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You got the baseball postseason right now still going on. I'm currently watching this Dodgers-Giants Game 5. It's 1-1 in the 6th, so very good stuff going on there. You also got the college football, NFL seasons getting underway. You got NBA coming up pretty soon. So before the next pitch or the next free throw, go to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's your chance to get in on the action. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, moving into the second half of the season. Like I said, at the All-Star break, four games up on the division lead. Came out in the second half just swinging. Went 25-11 after the All-Star break. That included a sweep of the Reds, a four-game sweep of the Cubs, a series win over the Cardinals, and another series win over the Reds. That pretty much wrapped up the division right there. I mean, the Brewers were playing some of their best baseball, taking care of the division, beating their opponents, their division opponents in big key series, and just wrapped up the division by the end of August. On August 25th, they were 78-49 and 9.5 games up on the Reds in the NL Central. I mean, going into the All-Star break, I can remember me and Benny talking about it. You know, we were a little worried about the Reds. They had an easy schedule in the second half. Really weren't even talking about the Cardinals at that point. The Cardinals ended up, you know, making the postseason and being the biggest threat in the division. You know, still the Cubs were kind of in the mix there a little bit, but they had traded off all their assets by the end of July. So, you know, we were still a little concerned, mainly about the Reds going, you know, coming out of the All-Star break, but the Brewers just took care of business, you know, took care of their division opponents, did what they needed to do. And again, really by the end of August had wrapped things up. They were still Let's talk about the trade deadline real quick. On July 28th, they traded Cooper Hamel and Alberto Ciprian to the Arizona Diamondbacks for Eduardo Escobar. I thought it was a great trade, sure up the corner infield position. Then made a couple of moves at the trade deadline for relief pitchers that really just didn't work out. They traded Reese Olson to the Detroit Tigers for Daniel Norris. Daniel Norris was terrible, just quite honestly. Never really worked out, made a difference on the season. They also traded Peyton Henry to the Miami Marlins for John Curtis. Curtis unfortunately got injured, will miss all of next year as well, but he is under control for several more years, so still could have an impact down the road. But again, that one really didn't make an impact on this season. And then, like I said, they still were playing good baseball into mid of September. Then you had the combined no-hitter between Corbin Burnes and Josh Hader on September 11th. They've been flirting with no-hitters all year, finally got one. Was a combined no-hitter, which was the right decision. I'm not going to go over that again. But it was really downhill after that. They went 2-7 in their next nine games after that combined no-hitter. Then lost five of their last six games entering the postseason. They went 14-15 in that last month plus three dates there in October. You know, I talked about it on the podcast leading up to the postseason those last couple weeks. Was not feeling good about the confidence of the team, really where they were at. It's tough too. I mean, I get it. We talked about it as well. It's that, you know, rest versus rust kind of situation that you deal with when you clinch that early. Again, I said, you know, on August 25th, they were 9.5 up on the division. I mean, it was a wrap early with a month to go. It's hard to keep that focus all the way through. And, you know, I really think that had a lot to do with how things played out in the postseason. Players are never going to admit to that. Coaches are never going to admit to that. But it's just hard to really stay focus when you're grinding that hard to win a division, and then you're just really not playing meaningful games for a month, basically. And it's hard to just, you know, turn it back on like that. I think they still could have done it. I still think they tried their hardest, obviously, in the postseason, but just weren't playing really good baseball down the stretch, and I think that did have some carryover into the postseason. They did sweep the Mets to clinch the division on September 26th. You know, that was after losing a four-game series to the Cardinals when they had a chance to clinch. Then they took advantage of the lowly Mets there who were struggling down the stretch, swept that series to go ahead and wrap up the division. So looking at some of the top pitchers and hitters in the second half, again, I got Josh Hader down here. He had a 0.81 ERA in the second half with a 0.90 whip. So just an unbelievable season all around for Josh Hader. Again, great all year. Know what happened in the postseason. We're not going to talk about that here. But as far as the regular season goes, I thought he was the best relief pitcher in all of baseball. And I forgot to mention the Brewers end of the season 95-67, only five games up on the Cardinals, which is just kind of crazy. I never really even looked back to see how close the Cardinals actually got, but kind of crazy they got within five games of the Brewers. But Brewers finished 95-67, first place in the NL Central, obviously. But again, yeah, top pitchers for post All-Star break: Hader 0.81 ERA, 0.90 whip. Devin Williams, again, another player people probably don't want to think about right now. Although, just to go on the record, I don't think Devin Williams really impacted the postseason a ton. I mean, you could say he probably would have come in the eighth inning of that last game instead of Hader, but I can't really think of another game where he would have, you know, made a difference necessarily. Sure, obviously having him, you know, would have helped, but again, you got to score runs. The problem in that series is the Brewers didn't score runs, but anyways, Devin Williams in the second half, you know, it was a bit of a struggle for Devin in the first half. We talked about a lot throughout the season. But in the second half, a 1.74 ERA, 0.97 whip, really getting back into his self, which is good for next season. Be right back in there. Adrian Hauser was really good in the second half. I didn't really notice this, I guess, as the season went on. I mean, I knew Hauser was solid all year. We talked so much about Eric Lauer in the second half, and Lauer was good too. I got him on here. But Hauser, 2.43 ERA, 1.11 whip in the second half. Really good stuff there. And then Corbin Burnes, 2.50 ERA, 0.97 whip. Hunter Strickland, 2.52 ERA, a 0.88 whip. Another really good pickup there. I'm not going to say I didn't like the Strickland move because it was a no-risk type of move, but I really wasn't a big believer in Hunter Strickland at that time, and he was really huge for the Brewers bullpen this year. And then I mentioned Lauer a minute ago, 2.60 ERA in the second half with a 0.96 whip. Was really great for the Brewers. Ended up starting game four. I know Vinny, was really high on Lauer. Thought he should have stayed in that game for a little bit longer. But Lauer was definitely huge in the second half. Allowed the Brewers to go to that six-man rotation to kind of save some innings for some of their young starters. So Lauer was really huge this year. Again, we talk about it all the time, but going back to spring training, never would have seen that coming from Eric Lauer. So good stuff from him to bounce back and really make a huge impact and really, now be a key part of this rotation going forward. So props to him for turning that around. And then as far as the hitters, again, my guy Avisel Garcia had the highest OPS of all the starters in the second half, an 882 OPS, 8 home runs, and 176 at-bats. Again, I think that back was really bothering him those last couple of weeks and into the postseason. Just didn't look right in the postseason to me at all. Did not look comfortable at the plate. But in the second half of the season, 882 OPS. I mean, he brought the thunder all year long. Willy Adames, an 866 OPS, 11 home runs, and 193 at-bats. Luis Urias really turned it on in the second half, an 850 OPS, 11 home runs, and 203 at-bats. Rowdy Tellez, who they brought over, an 835 OPS, 7 home runs, and 150 at-bats. And then Eduardo Escobar, another trade acquisition, an 800 OPS, 6 home runs, and 179 at-bats. So those are your second half pitchers. Top pitchers and hitters. Again, just really good stuff across the board for the Brewers this year. A lot to be excited about going forward. Winning 95 games, winning the NL Central, got a lot of good talent coming back, including Tellez and Adames, Colton Wong coming back, got a Luis Urias. Got to figure out what the outfield situation is going to look like. One guy I didn't even talk about here is Jackie Bradley Jr. I don't know what's going to happen with him. We'll get into him as we start to preview some more of the offseason stuff. Lorenzo Cain, obviously, really just a whole outfield right now. I mean, Yelich is going to be out there. You're just going to have to hope he turns things around. I don't know if Avisel Garcia is going to opt out. He has the ability to opt out. I think Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to opt in. He has the ability to opt out, but I can't see him doing that after the year that he had. So outfield is going to be a big thing to keep an eye on this offseason. And we will definitely get into all of that. But I wanted to do one more kind of season review, recap, just kind of going back everything that happened over the year, some of the highlights from the season. Again, a really great season from the Brewers. I know it's tough right now and still stings from the postseason loss, but really was a great year for this team, and I think the future is very bright. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. You can follow me at ShortstopBall. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.